Yeah, that's a blessing. Okay, I think last week I made it to chapter 12, I mean verse 12. This is, I like how the Lord did everything. They just saw Jesus ascend, so they were charged in their heart, just like, you know, when they just saw him ascend in the heaven. Verse 12, and they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord and in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. I'm glad that Mary was there. There's a lot of the Catholics like to worship her more than they should, but you know, she had to get saved too. She believed on Jesus too. Verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst of all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. You know, there are many markers just like this that let people know that everything worked out exactly like it was prophesied. And one time, Perry Stone did a series where he showed where Jesus would have to come from, where he would be born, how, you know, everything the prophets prophesied about. It was just like this. It was prophesied in Psalms that after he died, let another take his bishopric. And the Holy Spirit, he saw this way back then. And when we follow him, we're just as strategic as he is. And this was a marker to let them know that you're on the right track. Verse 21. Wherefore of these,
I wonder if that field of people are not living on it today, because it says right here that no one's going to live on it. I wonder if that field right there is uninhabitable today.
I don't know.
Where does it say that, brother?
Okay.
It's called the field of
let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein. It has to be a fulfillment of prophecy. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take, and what that means is office or change.
Yeah.
Well, that means that nobody lives there. if it said that, it'll become, you know, that's what it said about Babylon, that it'll be given to salt.
Right.
Nobody's going to live there.
Look up Isaiah chapter 13, man. It tells exactly what Babylon's going to have in it. It's going to be unbelievable, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Iraq, and nobody live there. It's going to be given us all.
Habitation of devils and demons.
Mm-hmm. Doleful creatures, you know, the wild birds. There are things that the Lord put in place that's just undeniable. Now, all the proof that he left, it requires your faith, because these things were prophesied. And you still have to look at it through the eyes of faith.
Yes,
but they're there. And this is something that you can look at and see, but it still requires your faith to believe on Jesus Christ. And that's how the Lord set it up. Verse 21, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us the time that all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that they may take part of the ministry of the apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was surnamed with the 11 apostles. Brother Horton, did they ever do lots with Jesus with them?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, they didn't. They didn't cast no lots. Jesus didn't cast no lots.
Uh-uh. They have to.
No.
They
didn't. Because Jesus would go to the Father.
And Jesus didn't cast lots.
No. I don't think they. No. That's something. They must have went back to the. The old tradition.
They went back to the old ways, yeah.
Yeah. And, now we have the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is pay attention to
That's
him.
Right. That is absolutely correct. That is correct.
And
no doubt about it.
Yeah. And he will not fail to guide you.
That's right. That's correct.
Now, the enemy will try to interrupt you, but you can stop him. He's not, he's nothing to stop. It's easy to stop Satan. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, whatever he puts on your heart, whatever he brings to your attention, if you I like to dialogue with him about it. And like this morning in First Seekers class, the Lord gave this message called How Do You See What You're Looking At? How do you see what you're looking at? Like when David went to take his brothers the cheese and the food, he saw Goliath talking. Mm-hmm. Now the men of Israel, they saw a giant, but David didn't see a giant because he had been in God's presence. He saw the will of God. He saw himself overcoming that obstacle. He saw a man out of covenant blaspheming God. And he was disappointed because nobody went and killed him. And then he volunteered. In the challenges of life, whatever the Holy Spirit give you to do, if you know His will, if you're paying attention to Him, you can win. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit within and upon to so that we can know what we all should know what God wants us to do.
Amen.
And you get that from the Word of God, going in His presence and just dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. Let Him talk to you. He'll talk. He'll tell you. He'll show you whatever whatever He say do, be faithful with it. And what in chapter 2, we'll cover most of it next week. But we're going to see the beginning of a beautiful relationship. The Lord is going to do things that they never thought possible. And the Lord's going to work through men. One of Jesus' names is God with us. And he's going to, he put his people in a position that in chapter 1, they thought that it was about time for Jesus to set up his kingdom. But they didn't know of the glorious dispensation that would happen before that. Let's look at a few verses in chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I noticed that the Lord will always meet you in obedience. When you're in obedience, that's when the Lord can really move in your life.
Could you imagine you standing in that room and that wind come in, just blowing your hair, your body, your clothes, and just,
yeah.
Wow, man, imagine that.
You know, there are times when we go in God's presence, you can just feel His presence. There's a peace it can last all day. There's a joy that you don't want to leave. And I said, Lord, I want to be like this all the time. I said there's always a way to do something. I said, I want you to teach me how to do it. One way to do that is to study the Word of God. I got a friend that's a truck driver. He said he likes to read a few scriptures, and that scripture bless him all day. Well, when you study the Word of God and you're thinking about what God's saying, that's a vision of Him. And when you see Him, the world is just smaller. The problems,
yes.
You just see them smaller. So when you look out in life, you know, you can say, how do I see what I'm looking at? I gave the example of a guy. He said that he likes it when he's on a challenge. If somebody's having a bad day and they might be frustrated with him, or they might, you know, because they're frustrated, they may say things in dialogue with him. Instead of getting mad, he likes it because the Holy Spirit will give him wisdom to be there for them while they need him the most. And he can love them even though that they're not at their best state. And he sees an opportunity when he sees that kind of opposition.
In other words, so he's magnifying God over what they're doing to him.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you respond the God way instead of the complete way.
Right. When he taught me to love his people, that's one of the things that I sought God the most. I saw that it pleased him if I loved people. And when I was about to get in a fight when the Lord strengthened me to love a guy that I was mad at. And I saw that the Lord could give me strength to love somebody. I said, well, Lord, I want to grow. I want to learn, how do I do this all the time? I don't ever want to come to a point where I get mad and start fussing somebody or fight. This was back in 87 when that happened. And I started asking the Lord all kind of questions about walking in love and acting on whatever He showed me. And if there was any kind of opposition, the Lord would give me wisdom to respond. You know, Proverbs 15 says a soft answer turns away wrath. Well, it works. And you can govern your conversation to be a blessing to people. And when you do that, and they know, you know, they're upset with you, or they're upset at you, or they're mad about something, and you speak to calm them down. They might be mad at somebody else. And in dialogue with them, they get calm, and then they see the wisdom of God. And people have gotten saved by that. And when you see whatever you see, if you can see the Lord in it and how He can solve it, you know, that's what He was talking about. How do you see what you're looking at? David didn't see a giant like the men of Israel did. And when he killed him, they all grew courage. I was telling my sister, I said, most people go, you know, they just go along with stuff. But there's always going to be one person that'll start something, that'll take a stand, and it produces change, like Martin Luther did. I was talking about it on the radio, how the Catholic Church had gotten out of hand. I mean, they were doing all kind of mischief. And he wrote those 95 theses, posted, took a stand, and people started believing God again. Well, every generation, God gives us somebody like that to start change on something.
Like Kenneth Hagin.
Yeah, with faith. And healing.
Because it was time for faith to start coming in into the fold.
Uh-huh.
We had revivals and healings and all that. Now it was time for faith to be taught.
Uh-huh. And it happened in time before Israel was a nation.
Exactly. Started before.
Because you need that kind of backbone before God do a move of God. Whatever He give you to do, you might be the first person to pioneer something. And you have to prepare and just look at him. You have to look at him from the beginning to the end. This morning we started with how David numbered the people. You know, that was bad because if he started looking at the people instead of God, everything was going to go south. And how do you see when you start out, you're in faith. All right, as you prosper, continue to look at God. Look at his ways. That way it'll stay in balance and it'll stay, don't let me go over. It'll stay in, everything will stay according to the perfect will of God. And then obedience is a multiplier. It always enables God to multiply in your life. As we enter the book of Acts, that's what we're going to see. Now, they didn't know everything. They started out casting lots. That's but right. They ended up turning the world upside down. And sometimes they were just as surprised as the people who saw him do it. You know, everywhere Paul went, somebody was aggravating him. You know, same thing, a thorn in the flesh. These are the men of God. You know, and he cast the devil out of that girl. Ended up in jail, but he still didn't see a jail. He saw an opportunity to spread the gospel. He used the jail as a pulpit. So no matter what situation in, you can always see God. On the ship, he saw the salvation of God. You know, the ship's going to be lost, but no man's life is going to be lost. You have to look at him in all situations, in all things. You have to trust and rely on the wisdom of God operating in you. Because he's going, whatever change he's going to make, he'll do it through you. Whenever he revealed to you, he's setting you up to make change somewhere, to bring healing, to go about doing good. And never doubt.
You know that missionary I told you about, his name is Terry Mines. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's a missionary, and you know, he's raised people from the dead, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
He's just done real stuff. But anyway, he was saying that everybody wants to return back to the book of Acts, you know, that's the big thing nowadays, you know, and I've said it too. I've said we need to, you know, have that and stuff. He said, but the book of Acts went through persecution. The church went through extreme persecution. Okay, there's things that come with it, but he made a very peculiar statement. He said that we may write the last chapter of the book of Acts.
Yeah, because we're still in the days of Acts.
We might write the last chapters.
Yeah.
The book of Acts doesn't really end. You're not really.
But don't fear nothing. I mean,
that's awesome.
The opposition of the world is nothing. It's going to be fun. When you're in God's presence doing his will, you're going to see them lose. You're going to see yourself, and you can't always see the complete work of God, but you're going to start something that can't be stopped and leave a legacy. Because what we do now, the books we write, the words we speak, the messages we preach, the life we live, it turns into a legacy, a Holy Ghost legacy. We're in with that. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst.
Lord,
I thank you for all the wonderful things that's in your heart towards us. Help us to complete it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord.